Yes.
Yeah, I'm just gonna.
Can I call today's meeting to order? Today is Wednesday, August 15th, 2012. Time is 6:10. This is the Redistricting Steering Committee for the Broward County School Board. My name is Michael Rayner, and thank you everybody for making it this evening. The meeting, we do have a quorum present, and if we could go to our Pledge of Allegiance. Madam Vice Chair, if you would lead us in the pledge. Everybody rise, please.
Flags on the screen.
Oh,
there's one there, too. We'll do a real one.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks. If staff would call the roll.
Christine Dudakis, present. Russell Shard.
Here.
Marilyn Sultanipour. Barbara Jones.
Present.
Paul Eichner.
Present.
Heather Kniff.
Here.
Latha Krishnayer.
Here.
Mandy Wells. Roland Folks. Roosevelt Walters.
Here.
Philip Busey.
Here.
Barry Buten.
Here.
Sheila Rose. Ron Aronson.
Here.
Michael Furtick, or excuse me, Mary Furtick.
Mary, did something happen since our last meeting that I've disclosed?
Michael DiGruccio. See, that's why I messed up. Alan Ehrlich. Marcia Elson.
Present.
And Michael Rayner.
Present.
Thank you. That completes the roll call.
We're now going to move to item 4, adoption of today's agenda. Before we go into that, I just want to make some minor changes to the agenda. Item 9.1 under unfinished business, if we could just move it to create a new 7.7, as really there's no need for dialogue over it. Mr. Busey, I received your email that staff just gave me before the meeting. It's been circulated to the committee. Would you be comfortable with us addressing that as part of perhaps staff follow-up 7.2, or would you like that listed as a new business item?
Well, I think it pertains to the staff follow-up.
Into the microphone, just so it's on, everything's on record.
I don't have the agenda, but I think it pertains to the item on the agenda involving staff follow-up. If you feel it's appropriate elsewhere,
Being you submitted the memo, I just want to find, if you're comfortable with it under staff follow-up, then we can address it then. Members, if you can, in the meantime, also review that. As we get closer to that then. Are there any other, with the agenda having been revised or amended and distributed to all members, are there any other questions or amendments to the agenda?
I don't think we got a copy of the agenda.
Yeah. It's that big meeting packet.
Okay. Gotcha.
Is everybody fine with the agenda?
Sure.
Okay, without objection, the agenda for this meeting is adopted as distributed. Okay, seeing no objection, it's been adopted. Moving to the number 5, the approval of the July 25th, 2012 meeting minutes. The minutes of the July 25, 2012 meeting were distributed to all members with the packet for this meeting, attachment 5, pages 5 through 15. Are there any additional corrections to the minutes of July 25th? Patrick?
Yes, I received meeting minute corrections by Mr. Rayner as well as Ms. Krishnayer. On the first page, the minutes, the District 6 was struck and put as District 7. Under number 2, Pledge of Allegiance and Town of Southwest Ranches was struck. On the next page, under number 5, scheduled for, and that would be the month of January of 2013. On the fourth page under item public comment on map alternative 8, where it says Chair Rayner at that last section before 6.2, a period was added after the word effort. On the following page on public comment map alternative 9, There was a typo for Ms. Krishnayer's name, and Latha was added as opposed to Christine.
It's just not just Mary.
On the section for public comment on map alternative 10, on the second page of that, a comment by the Chair Rayner was struck as it regarded the committee does not work for the school board. Also, the correction for Ms. Krishnayer's name. On the following page, under 6.2, presentation of submitted map alternative 11, Sheila Rose, there was a period after Sheila that was removed. Also, a period was removed after Michael's name. On the following page, the comment after mine for Chair Rayner, it was reminded the committee members that they should be mindful of their initial assessment and the phrase what they are saying and to take was struck. Also under the section for Ms. Anzia Armstrong, where she commented that the item, the map, outboundered or put Ms. Rupert out of her district, I just added the comment that staff did confirm that that map does indeed bounder her out of that. We wanted to make sure that that was technically correct in that, even though we don't look at board member locations. And on the final, under the section for, on the second to the last page, under the chair's report, he added the struck the word draft after Chair Rayner also discussed a recent draft sample ballot. The word sample was added, and it was the phrase mailed to voters was added. Also, by the supervisor of elections, the word which was struck included conflicting information on redistricting was added.
And the word was W-H-I-C-H. So we have the...
Okay. And the statement stated that the redistricting process was over was struck, and after the word chair had asked if the statement could be corrected for future mailings was added. And those are all the corrections.
Mr. DiGrigio.
I just want to comment that Nick Steffens is a Parkland resident, not Deerfield Beach resident, because we're neighbors, unless we both.
Was there any, are there changes to the minutes? Mr.
Yes, on, I guess it's 6 point, a public comment on map alternative 10. And I commented, I think what I meant what was unconscionable was for this person not to get a school board member to respond to her. In other words, I think because she lived in one district and the child was in another district, she couldn't get a school board member to address her complaints. So I believe, so that's mostly right.
Okay, that's on comments for map alternative 10?
Right.
Mr. Buten, do you want to propose any particular change to it?
You just put unconscionable for her not to get a response.
Okay.
From the school board. And the rest is fine. So I think that was my intent.
Mr. Busey?
I commented that one map removed a Hispanic school board member from her district, and I don't really remember what map I was commenting on, so if you didn't see it, it's not, I just, I, if that's important, it could be in there. If it's not important, it doesn't need to be in there.
Do you recall, Patrick, which map that was?
No, I don't remember that statement at all.
Would it be okay if staff were to research that and just insert that statement after?
I don't know that it's important, but if you find it easily, I guess put it in there. If you can't find it, don't worry about it.
Any other amendments to the minutes? Okay, hearing the amendments, if there's no objection, go back to my script so I get it right, so Mrs. McDougall does not reprimand me. If there's no further corrections or amendments to the July 25th minutes, they are approved as corrected. Okay. So no objection heard. I'm going to take the chair's report really brief because all the information is in here, so there's really no need for me to kind of talk about different things. But we really need to have a rich dialogue tonight on some new developments and some information that's come forward from legal, you know, based on those memos. And I'll, instead of me talking now, I'll save it for when we get to those particular agenda items. And other than that, let's move on then to staff follow-up number 7. First item is 7.1, how race classifications add up.
As mentioned at the last meeting on July 25th, we added a comment to the bottom of the tables for the maps on the diversity, which states non-Hispanic population is equal to the total of all race categories. Hispanic plus non-Hispanic population is equal to the 2010 population. That was derived from what we receive from the Census Bureau directly in the census, which parlays into 7.2 in your packet, the tables for the census information, which are the U.S. Census data summary file population tables and field descriptions. Those are, like I said, we pulled that information directly from these tables for the total population, and that's how the Census Bureau presents that data as given out to the public and everyone else. So in your packets, you'll see on pages 18 through 24, these are the tables of the census summary census data files that we use. And like I stated, we, for this project, are using the total census population for that. You'll also find in section, moving on to section 7.3, community redistricting suggestions. Actually, after the data tables, you'll find a written description of what these data tables are, which go to page, looks like 33.
No, Mr. Chair.
Into the microphone, just so everything's up right.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just not go to 7.3 until we've finished.
Okay.
Okay. I this afternoon went to the U.S. Census site and pulled up a breakout of Hispanic and non-Hispanic populations cross-tabulated by race. And I think by pooling all races within the category of Hispanic, it makes it look like Hispanics are all of one race, especially in putting them on the same category as with white, black, and so forth. And I think it's unequal to consider the race of Hispanics not important if we consider the race of non-Hispanics to be important enough to break it out. So that's why I see quite a bit of inconsistency between our presentation and data available from the U.S. Census Bureau. And I think we need to rethink this.
What are you proposing?
Well, you know, I can't explain why races should be pooled within the Hispanic column and ignored and not for others. I think that the data should be presented cross-tabulated by race and by Hispanic or not Hispanic.
And how did Broward County do their redistricting? And how did they address the Hispanic population? I want to be sensitive to every population, but I also want to make sure we have a solution in how to address, incorporate, or evaluate whatever data we're looking at.
On the screen right now, we have the Broward County population for what they utilized.
And you'll see that, I know it might be a little bit hard with the lights on here right now, but you'll see at the top of the page for the total population, the breakout for the demographics is exactly the same as what we have it. They just represent by percentage as opposed to showing the total populations as well. The two fields that actually that they did not include were for American Indian and Hawaiian in that, but you'll see that it breaks out Hispanic and non-Hispanic. As I had mentioned earlier, this is not a Broward County school district or a Broward County methodology. This is how the data is actually provided by the U.S. Census Bureau. So even though somebody might have put on a questionnaire that they were Hispanic and black or Hispanic and white, the way they present the summary data file by the U.S. Census Bureau is to break out that total population, Hispanic or Latino, and then Hispanic or not Hispanic or Latino. And then as you look at the tables here, then it goes through and it breaks down the actual by race population. So like I stated, that's how we've presented the data, is just straightforward as what the U.S. Census Bureau provided to us. There was no data scrubbing of any fields. Nothing was intentionally left out or unintentionally left out. This is the field population of data that we found that they used. And that's generally how it comes as provided by the Census Bureau for the voter tabulated district breakdowns. They might actually have that broken down and broken out for, say, a larger geographical area, say, a county as a whole, but for the actual voter tabulated districts in the summary file, the data that's used is exactly what was presented by the Census Bureau.
Okay. Latha?
Patrick, how does the State Department of Education report the same stuff? Or the U.S. Department of Education, do we follow any of that? Do we have to follow rules set by them? Or because a lot of what we do is dependent on grants or funding from state. You know, how do we report out test data? You know, we divide into categories. How do we report out ESEA data?
Okay.
And, you know, all of that stuff, is that all consistent with what you're presenting us? Because is that... Are we required to follow, as a school district, certain criteria?
I believe Jill has an answer for that. Yes. Hey, you're looking like you had the answer.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the memo. Broward School District follows the Florida Department of Education, which follows the U.S. Census, and we brought this back to the Diversity Committee back in, I guess, 2010 to share this info with them as well as with all the schools. So when we collect student data as well, we collect it based on the way the U.S. Census does it. So we are all in alignment with the same data sets.
Mr. DeGruccia?
I just wanted to state that since the diversity chair, Roland Fultz, was here, and I'm a part of that committee, we discussed this in depth during the diversity committee when this question came up, so maybe he had something to state on the subject. So,
before I go to Mr. Fox, Mr. Busey, you had your hand up as well. Into the microphone, just so it's
I think Mr. Aronson had something. Did you want to ask that?
Where does black Hispanics come in? Are we double counting that?
No, it's like I said, the way that the Census Bureau breaks down this table is it has the population. If you look at the table for that, just so for example, if you look at page 60. I was looking at page 18.
No, I was looking at an alternative four, just which has the breakdown.
Okay. If you look at the actual, I'd like people to look actually at the census data as opposed to our table, just so that they know that it is coming from the Census Bureau. If you look at
page
18 of 119, in this total population table for the U.S. Census summary file population table fields and descriptions, you'll see that the first field is the total population, which of course is the field that we have, then the Hispanic or Latino population, then non-Hispanic population, then the population of one race, and then it goes down through all of the particular races there for, say, the total black population, the total white population, then it has the Asian, the Native Hawaiian, Native American, and then also the other multiple races, and then so on and so forth. it does not break the population down by whether or not a person, and I know this is what Mr. Busey had commented in his email, it does not break the population down by whether or not a person was considered or put on their form a white Hispanic or a black Hispanic. It just lumps them into a Hispanic category. And it lumps everybody else that is not of Hispanic origin or whatever they put on their form into one of the other races or multiple races. And like I said, this is exactly how the Census Bureau presented it and provides it on their website and is downloaded from their website. And that's exactly what we used. And that's this is the data set that allows it to be broken out by census block group or voter precincts or census tracts or countywide for the entire United States. So that's how we gathered the data straight from them.
May I respond, Mr.
Yes.
Chair? Yeah, I was able today to download from the census.gov a breakout of races and Hispanic or not Hispanic origin, and that's exactly from the Census Bureau. So I see the categories that you have listed on this page 6-18, but that doesn't prove that they don't allow a cross-tabulation of Hispanic by race. In fact, I was able to do that. So I'm just like thinking, if we're going to say that all Hispanics are of one race, or we're not going to pay attention to that, I think we should ask the attorney if the school board is allowed to ignore the race of Hispanics. Personally, I think that's an unequal treatment to consider the race of non-Hispanics. Why don't we just take all non-Hispanics and put them in one race, and then we'll only break out the race for the Hispanics? It just seems unequal to do that. And clearly, I was able to pull this up as a cross-tab this afternoon.
No, understood. And as Jill had mentioned, by the way, we're following the FDOE data and how we even provide our diversity data for the school district. It has it broken down like that. It does not break the student down by whether or not they are white Hispanic, black Hispanic, Asian Hispanic, so on and so forth for that.
Saying that the Division of Education allows the ignoring of race by Hispanics.
Right.
We can only consider race for non-Hispanics. We don't consider race for. So that's the law.
Well, Hispanic is it considers them as an ethnicity. Okay. It's not a race.
If we get actually no more crosstalk. If we just one person at a time, please, Patrick.
No, as I was mentioning, it's Hispanic is not considered a race. It's considered an ethnicity of that. And the way that I think the reason why they break that down on that is to show that whether or not people associate with them as that ethnicity, as opposed, and if they were another race, they put in whatever race they were.
Okay, Roland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And if the record could reflect Mr. Folks is present. Thank you.
Maybe you've had this conversation in my absence, but several years ago, this district and districts across the country were required by the U.S. Department of Education to ask two questions of those who have been identified as Hispanic ethnicities. And they were asked their ethnicity, but also which racial category they chose to belong to. And those racial categories come from Federal Directive 15, which identifies along the lines of this August 15, 2012, Europeans or whites are considered people of Western European ancestry and North African. So that's Moroccan, Tunisian, Libyan, Algerian, Egyptian, all the way around to Iranians, Iraqis, Jews in Israel, Jordanians. So the Middle East is considered, in the U.S., these are white people. Those who are black are those who have ancestries in sub-Saharan Africa. So below the Sahara, below those places I mentioned, all the way down to South Africa. In this county, and this was an issue we dealt with on the Technology Advisory Committee, a decision was made by our technology department to make white the default racial category for this Hispanic ethnicity in Broward County, and then allow or ask the schools themselves to then ask parents how they identify, those Hispanic parents, how do they identify whether they are white or black or Native American even. And the problem I had and the diversity committee had at that time was, why not make the default category black? Why was the default category made white? And that question still hasn't been answered, except for the fact that the technologist with whom I had this conversation with said, I just chose white as the default category because we were against a deadline. I'm not sure what deadline that was, but they had to get information back to the state and back to the federal government. Now, whether each school's principal, each school's guidance director then sent letters out to parents, Hispanic parents, asking them, how do you identify yourself? I don't know. I haven't seen the data. But if you look at the 2010-2011-2012, we went from a majority black district to a majority white district. And it was because of that action by that one person, who I will continue to remain nameless at this point. And no one has bothered to address the concerns that I have raised about that and others. So we are now a majority white district, according to this new category, where individuals have chosen who are Hispanic or Latino, who have co-identified as white or black. Now, according to the 2000 census, 95-96% of Hispanics nationwide, and they could have been as black as I am, identified themselves as white. So again, you identify with the people in power. And when you're an immigrant, you don't go to identify with individuals who are not in power. You identify, you're coming for a better life. So the thinking is, if I identify with the majority group, then my life will be better. That's the anthropological explanation for what we think is going on. But in Broward County, that is what happened. Now, I'd like to see the letters sent back to schools from Hispanic parents saying, well, we've always identified as white, or we've always identified as this, continue to list us racially as white, black, or whatever. I haven't seen that information.
Mr. Fox, I don't want to get off the topic, but just looking at what Mr. Busey provided, where Hispanic, based on the U.S. Census Bureau, white alone, Hispanic is 341,000, black is 17,000. That would kind of make some logical reason as to why it might default to white in that sense. I mean, that just when you look at the numbers and the majority when you're programming, it just minimizes the step. But not that it makes it right or wrong, you know, but I'm just looking at the numbers logically based on what's provided there. Mr. Walters.
My concern on the numbers would be, if white is the default, then if I said I'm Hispanic and don't check black, would I automatically place white? And if so, it could be then that the numbers are very good. You know, this is an issue that we're not going to settle sitting around this table.
That was my point, Mr. Chair.
You know, and it's a very valid one. Do we have... do we have just a comparison of the census from 10 years ago as a comparison point just to see the difference between Hispanic breakdown?
I don't have that information readily with me right this
second. Okay. Because I think that would be an interesting thing just to see how drastically different it would change. Mr. Buten?
My understanding is on the census, if somebody left something blank, they would follow up and call them and go back to their house.
If they could find them.
That was the... I don't know if that was accomplished, but that was my understanding of the intent.
Remember, from what I said with this data, though, the way it's presented is that if a person was Hispanic, they would have, the way the Census Bureau has the following tables in this packet, if they were Hispanic, they would be in the Hispanic population and not as a white or a black. If they checked white or black, then they would have been placed in those race categories as opposed to Hispanic. If they ethnically identified themselves as being Hispanic, then they were lumped into that Hispanic group. From question and answers that we have online for the school district on is if you look at the screen on when the district changed the diversity data on all students across the district when it took place, and it basically states that last year through the guidance department in cooperation, you can take a minute to just read that, as well as how will these changes impact the diversity.
Patrick, only because some people have some visual limitations, if you could just read it.
Okay. When did the district change the diversity data on all of the students across the district? Last year, through the district guidance department in cooperation with ETS, parents of all students were sent a letter requesting they redeclare their race and ethnicity based on the new Florida Department of Education guidelines. A parent could pick any race or multiple races to identify their child's race, as well as if the child was of Hispanic ethnicity or not. This was calculated through a parent survey and directed to FDOE per U.S. Census reporting. Then also the next question was, how will these changes impact the diversity reporting of the school district? The previous race categories, as compared with the new computed race categories, will not be a major shift, except for the white category will increase. Previously, many of the white students were reported as Hispanic and are now calculated in the white race category with a Hispanic ethnicity rather than just as a Hispanic race category. Demographics of this district will be more white, as many as as many of the formerly categorized Hispanic families will now be reporting as a white race with a Hispanic ethnicity, changing the district from a minority-majority district to a majority-majority district. This will not impact AYP classification, as students who identify as Hispanic will be calculated in that subgroup regardless of race.
Okay. The interesting thing is we're limited by the data that we have available. And I think we recognize that there's a problem with the U.S. Census data.
I disagree.
No, in the sense of how it's been interpreted then.
I disagree. I mean, when you say there's a problem with the U.S. Census data, what could you explain that?
Well, maybe it's how the district was quickly flipped.
Well, first of all, that was a school board decision, not anything to do with the U.S. Census. That was students' self-classification, as I understand, based upon what was presented earlier. And I think it just shows how wrong we can go sometimes when one decision is made without thought and care. But as far as the U.S. Census data, it is available by Hispanic and non-Hispanic. It's available by race. It's also available as cross-tabulation of race times Hispanic, and I just disagree that the census is not cooperating.
Okay, then throw a solution out there on the table for us to be able to move forward in considering the data, or what your recommendation is, what this committee should be doing.
There are two solutions as I see it. One would be to report Hispanic and non-Hispanic as two categories, and then to report races as categories inclusive of language or Hispanic or non-Hispanic origin. And that can be done because the census data is available to do that. Or to do the cross-tabulation, in which all categories of race and Spanish or Hispanic or non-Hispanic, obviously one is going to be easier to present, but I think, personally, if there's a black Hispanic person, they should be reported as Hispanic and should be reported as black because they're both.
Okay, so going from white, black, all the other races, and then adding two more categories of the data that is available of asking for white Hispanic, black Hispanic. Is that correct? Is that what you're asking for?
Okay. Let me repeat because I wasn't clear. The first solution is to have a Hispanic category and a non-Hispanic category, which I think would add one column to our data, and to pool the black Hispanics in with...
Look at page 60, just as an example. I mean, this is alternative four. I just randomly picked this out. And it's just not to look at the actual numbers, but to look at the columns.
Okay.
So that we have a visual of what we're talking about. So I just want to make sure we're clear on how we're going to be looking at our data.
Okay. The first solution that I would propose, which is going to be easier on the eye, would be to keep it the way it is, except to make sure that any Hispanics are redistributed in the race category, so that when you see a Hispanic person, they appear in both the Hispanic column, and if they're black Hispanic, they occur in the black column. And in other words, where the numbers of the races add up to the total.
But I'm correct, that's already...
Mr. Rayner, that is different. What he's asking for is then to make sure that the population that is Hispanic, it lists, this, for example, on page 60 where it says 76,001 Hispanic people, that those 76,001 would then also be distributed within that race, each race category. And what I was going to mention
I thought that was already done. That's why this adds up to more than 100%.
What it is the Hispanic population plus the non-Hispanic population equals the total population. The sum of the individual races is equal to the non-Hispanic population. And when you mentioned that there might be data available, the problem with the data availability is whether or not that data, yes, they may have that data, is broken down by the individual precinct and not just presented by the Census Bureau for the actual county as a whole. So there is a question of data availability. When we looked at this information and received the data, it's the summary files that everyone goes by to use for these racial and Hispanic breakdowns. So I think what Mr. Busey is saying is that you would either footnote it, and if the data was available, have all the Hispanic population in this group, but then you would also, there would be no way to, what I'm saying is you would end up having the non-Hispanic and the Hispanic populations totaled up with the non-Hispanic total here. You would have a completely different data layout.
Okay. I'm going to quickly go down with several hands. Mr. Chard first.
Yeah, excuse me. You know, we've all been looking at this data table for 8 months, and had this question come up in January, I'm still not sure that it would be something that this committee could solve. But we've come way too far down the road to readdress this at this point. We've had 7 public meetings. We've asked for input from the public. We told them to go to mymapbuilder.com or whatever it is and use the data to construct what we have 12 maps. And if we're now going to break those data files down to even more minute subsets, all of that is wiped off. We have literally wasted 8 months of a very narrow window period to accomplish something anyway. You know, any one of us could have completely restructured our map submissions based on a more detailed data set. I don't think it's fair to the people that put the work into it. I don't think it's fair to the public because we're literally 3/4 of the way through the game and suddenly changing the rules. I would recommend that, you know, we continue. If what we've already done is the legal standard used by Broward County government, by the state of Florida, and all the other entities, because we're certainly not the first people to go through this process, if we have followed a legally fair and defensible process, I think it would be insanity to undo 8 months' worth of work. And with all due respect to your passion on this, Philip, I understand that you work with the census and this is important to you, but I don't think we can undo it at this point, and I don't think that we can solve it even if we had the information.
Mr. Chair, real quick, I'd also like to support the fact that the data is also the same data that's used in the My District Builder software in terms of the racial breakdowns. They use the summary data files as provided by the U.S. Census Bureau.
Before I recognize the next two committee members who have their hand, wait till we get to 7.4. I don't want to burst your bubble, but there's, you know, been an update based on that legal memo of even the population that we look at. So there will be a discussion of maybe even needing to offer map makers a quick turnaround time to modify their maps based on a new set of data, which we should have instructed the public on. Mr. Eichner, could you have a question?
Quick statement. I just go into what you said you referred to later. I just want to point out in the legal memo that was provided to us in response to your question 5, it says the committee is advised to utilize the 2010 census data on the total voting age population in its work, as this is the data primarily relied upon by the courts and the Department of Justice.
Right, and we're using the total population as opposed to total voting age population, which will change. That was the bubble. Mr. Walters.
Mr. Chair, I don't want to hold on. I think it was well stated by the gentleman on the end.
Mr. Aronson.
Yeah. Did I understand you to say that we're counting people twice?
No, we're not counting people twice. What the way the Census Bureau breaks down the ethnicity and race inside the summary data files, what they do is they have a Hispanic category for people who identify themselves as being Hispanic, then the non-Hispanic category of everybody else. Those two totals equal the total population. Well, when you look at the table, you try to figure out what all those other races add up to be. All of the non-Hispanic races are those individual races of white, black, Asian, Hawaiian, American Indian, and other, and multi. All of those races total up to be the total number of non-Hispanic population. So there isn't any double counting in that at all. It just does not. Double counting would be, for example, on this, if they did have the data, if they were to, say, take out Hispanic by population by a race and add those Hispanic people into an individual race, then it will be at some point in double counting. But that's just the way that in this data file, the way the Census Bureau breaks it out, it's not double counting.
Mr. Busey, would it be all right if we defer the question to legal counsel, who will be with us at our August 30th meeting to respond? And I believe, has that been confirmed, his participation for August 30th? All right, if we can confirm that, and what I would recommend is maybe just posing this or forwarding this to him, just to get final clarification on the issue so that the attorney has spoken on it. We will at that time have the consulting attorney who the board has contracted with, I believe, also participating at that meeting, either in person or by conference, video conference. So I think that would be a better opportunity to address that right at this time.
I think it would be good to have the attorney advise us on this. I also think at the same time, and I respect your statement, Patrick, about the unavailability of race by ethnicity data at a precinct level. I think that should be confirmed rock solid.
Okay.
You know, because if we're sure that what I'm asking for is impossible, then I think I and the attorney would be much more satisfied. As far as bringing this up so late, I brought this up, I believe, in June at one of the mapping workshops. I brought this up at a prior meeting, and I realize that that's late in the process, but I think if it's wrong, it doesn't matter, you know, whether it was brought up early or late. I think it's something that if we're going to do this in a way that ignores Hispanic people as to their race, I think we ought to be really clear that there's a good reason for doing that, if there is.
This committee, we've had extensive dialogue on trying to figure out how we embrace Broward County's diversity. And I'm fine with, me personally, taking that extra effort of caution and guidance just to get the legal advice on that. Because when we get to the legal memo, you know, one of the things that was a big concern to me was, I want to make sure whatever product that we as a committee come up with as far as recommendations to the board is something that they're going to really look at in a meaningful way. And if that means that we fail to consider certain data, you know, that we do that, actually, we find a way to incorporate that data and evaluate that. And if we
you know, we find the best way to do it expediently and to be fair. But I also want to make sure that whatever we do as a committee, we didn't sit around for 10 months almost, you know, and then nothing can be used because we didn't do it the right way. So I would rather us take an extra moment to find out to make sure that our time invested into this process where none of us are paid, even though there was a comment at the school board meeting that we got paid or something, which I had to clarify to the board members we were volunteers. But it was... but, you know, my fear when we get to the legal memo was, you know, I would hate to see everything we do be thrown out and challenged in federal court or state court because we just even looked at the wrong data. So I would rather take that extra moment just to make sure that we are analyzing data correctly, using it correctly, and have the right set. So with this, is there any specific question with this or just forwarding the memo? Would that suffice?
I had another question that didn't get asked the attorneys, and that had to do with minority language groups.
Let's wait till we get to the legal interpretation memo, which is 7.4, because I think we have to go. You just did 7.2, right?
Yeah, 7.2.
Okay. So before we go to 7.3 then, you'll forward this to Mr. Carlin on my behalf?
Yes.
And request for clarification at the August 30th meeting, and requesting for him to confirm his participation as well as... Suzanne DiAgresta, I think. I probably butchered it. So then we can list that on the agenda. Now moving on to 7.3.
7.3 are community suggestions received throughout the 2011-2013 school board single-member redistricting process. If you look at that, that's page 34 of 119. We have suggested one, allow school board member districts to follow innovation zones. Second one was to allow school board member districts to follow municipal boundaries. For example, the city of North Lauderdale prefers to be represented by District 7, and the town of Southwest Ranches prefers to be represented by District 2. Also, suggestion three, geographically smaller cities would like to be represented by one school board member to provide greater accountability by who they vote for. Suggestion four, citizens would like to be represented by one school board member representing the schools where their children attend school. Suggestion five, whole neighborhoods would be represented by one school board member. Suggestion six, community members do not want minority voting rights diminished. Suggestion seven, the city of Lauderdale Lakes would like the Dillard Innovation Zone kept in District 5. Suggestion eight, the city of Coconut Creek and the city of Pompano Beach residents spoke of how their communities have similar interests with communities in District 7 and do not want to be partially or entirely within the same districts as the city of Fort Lauderdale or the city of Margate. Suggestion 9, citizens would like to have compact districts within Broward County. And that completes the overall community suggestions.
And I did share those in detail, item for item, with the school board at the meeting. So some of them definitely, I think, raised some eyebrows. So it was a good thing. On to item 7.4. We had a list of questions that were sent to Mr. Carlin. The questions we identified over the various several committee meetings, as well as this weekend, I, in a moment of real frustration, tried searching on the internet more about protection of the ability for minority communities to choose the representative of their choice or elect the representative of their choice, or what the exact verbiage is. And I kind of, what I discovered was confirmed by the by Mr. Carland and by the consulting attorney. It was something actually that I found as a resource by going to the Orange County School Board's website, which I found to be very helpful with some of the PowerPoint slides they had as well. And from what I saw I watched their videos of all their meetings, and I watched one or two, and it didn't look like they had a huge turnout either. So it made me feel better about the process in that sense, that people just, for some reason, it's not sexy, I guess. It's not Chick-fil-A protests. So if you would review Mr. Carlin's memo with us. And I know this came to everybody late in the day. Oh, if we could turn the lights back on, please. And did you, were you here for roll call? Were you? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, his packet of information, pages 1 through 6, were provided to you as a handout. Were provided to you as a handout for this meeting. I'm not sure.
And did my email to Mr. Carland also accompany it?
Yes.
Okay.
So you have both the original email as well as the response by Mr. Carland in the packet of information for you.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is ask the committee to review this in depth over the next few days. And by the end of the week, are you guys working Fridays or closed Fridays now?
We are here Fridays.
Back to full time?
Yes.
Or back to full schedule?
Yes.
5 days a week. That's a 5 day schedule. Not that you don't work full time. So what I would ask is everybody to, if you can review this and have any questions by the end of the week to staff, as follow-up, so that we can communicate those to Mr. Carlin to make better use of their time when they visit with us on August 30th. But while we're on this, the whole issue of voting age population, it is not something that we've had in any of the map alternatives considered. And it could totally skew.
My idea. I didn't vote age.
Well, you didn't follow instructions. It's like one of those, write your name and then put your pen down? No. Okay, well, that's good then. So that's one map, then less. What I would like to do, and I need to hear from the committee on this one, I think it's a very reasonable thing to offer a period of time. I don't know, 10 days, if that's enough, or more than enough, for map makers to modify their maps to include, incorporate voting age population and just resubmit them to us so that we're actually then being able to actually look at something using the, you know, both data. We could look at the total population, but we're also looking at the U.S. Census total voting age population, which is more correct. And to me, it's more in line because if we're talking about one person, one vote, that makes more sense. A child doesn't get the right to vote. You know, I know there's some debate over that topic. So let me start with Barbara and then work our way down.
In the event that we do allow for map makers to revise the maps, does that mean that we would have to have a public hearing on each map?
This is
to discuss?
What I was going to add is, in also speaking today with Ed Solomon, Director of Development Planning for the Supervisor of Elections. There was no requirement to utilize for the county, since they used the total population data, there was no requirement to use total population data or the voting age population. I know they're two different data sets. There was no requirement for them to do that. They chose to use total district population because their commissioners represent the total population, not just the number of voters or people that are eligible voters. There's just so you know, and I'm sure you are aware, there is a difference between the number of people that are 18 years or older and the number of people that are eligible to vote. So that's how they use that. There was also the question, segue into a follow-up, on whether or not precincts can be split. Precincts can be split. However, they frown upon it because it does change where people go to vote for
potentially.
Potentially vote.
It doesn't actually change it. It could potentially.
Well, it would change the voting area if you split a precinct.
Right.
Because it changes the population.
Right, where the polling location would be
right.
Isn't necessary. They're consolidating
right.
A lot of precincts.
But, and it would also, the supervisor of elections data and those precincts would be changed following that our redrawing of the districts, but they're and they are also aware too that in splitting that you are mathematically generating a ratio of how you split that census data within that area, which may or may not be really where the population resides in that specific neighborhood. So that being said, their comment on it was that there was no requirement for to use either voting population or total population. The county went with the total population on that on that data. To then answer your question, which was...
If indeed we allowed any revisions,
okay.
With
regards to the revisions, my suggestion to you on that is, since then that would open up the door for someone to completely change their map, if it is the committee's decision and legal counsel's decision to go forward with having this other data set for 18 years of older population applied to it, would be to rerun the data for the existing maps to actually see how they change first. And knowing that the population that you're actually extruding out of that is only the population for the children, as well as for the population of people that are not eligible to vote, I believe that might be incarcerated people or people, non-citizens as well, that your percentages will go down. You won't have a situation where a percentage will jump in an area. They will go down. So your areas might be watered down in some of the areas. So if you had a 50% black population, it may drop to a 48% or 49%. It just depends on how many of that other population would be in that group. But I would suggest maybe running that data first on the maps to see how that goes before you open up Pandora's box to everybody changing their thing, saying, well, oh, I wanted it really to be the 54%, and you disenfranchised me, and I think I should rechange my whole map, and then suddenly they're redrawing a completely different area to change their idea. So then you would then potentially open up the process to say, well, if they're allowed to completely change their map like that, then the whole mapping process should be opened up to everybody again, and then you're right back from square one, and it'll take...
I think we could limit it just to the maps that have been already submitted. We don't have to have a whole other period of open process. But we're going to have all the members' concerns first going down from that end of the table, because I know that there's several hands. Anybody else on that end? Just sure. We're going to come back.
Russ Chard, if you can help me, just give me a memo for dummies version of this. Can you direct me to the part in that memo? Because I've been skimming it and trying to pay attention, and I haven't seen the voting.
It's the last item on page 6, question 5, the very bottom. It says, the question was, should the committee utilize U.S. Census voting age population when addressing minority rights on data or on eligible voter from the supervisor elections? I think there's four. The committee is advised to utilize the 2010 U.S. Census data on the total voting age population population in its work, as this is the primary data primarily relied upon by the courts and the Department of Justice.
Then how are we bound by that when Broward County didn't do it?
Here's my question.
Or are we bound by it?
My question, Mr. Rayner, on this is that the question proposed to the legal counsel was almost a leading question. And by what I mean by leading question is...
I think that
the question
legal counsel inserted was a summary of a 3-4 paragraph email. So they extracted what they want from that and put that one question. There wasn't a specific... There were several questions, actually.
I'm just saying the question 5 says, should the committee utilize U.S. voting age population when addressing minority rights or eligibility voter from supervisor elections? There was never the question asked on whether or not we should use total population. You only posed the question of voting age population and eligible voters as opposed to total population. So when the question was answered by legal counsel, given the choice of eligible voter population and 18 years or older population, they gave you the answer of 18 years or older population, not total population.
I'm
just saying that is in reading the question straightforward.
I'll confess, I read the memo while I was driving here earlier. Sometimes you just got to do it. You got to get the work done. So I'm from New York, okay? And there is another section under question 1 in a response that also reinforces that issue. And it does talk about the fact that and it was in the PowerPoint slide that was in Orange County School District that actually said that you use that data set because in courts, typically it's the courts that are mandating that's the set to be used. And I just need clear guidance as to which data set so we can move forward. Now, unfortunately, I did not highlight it while driving, so I was also probably on the phone. So if you bear with me for a moment, who had a question next while I'm quickly looking for this? Mr. Eichner.
I think this is like a game changer because you're changing the rules significantly. And the train's already left the station months ago. So perhaps, Patrick, I apologize if I didn't hear it correctly, perhaps what would be best would be let's ask staff to go back and use the boundaries that were created, but with the data that we should use. Everything would be relative. We would be treating everybody's recommendation in the same fashion. We already have heard from the people when they made their presentations what their intent was and what they're trying to accomplish. So we would be able to carry through with the input that we have received, use the new data set, and then make the tweaks according to what makes the numbers work and trying to uphold what the intent of the people's intentions were when they presented. I think that's the lesser of all evils.
Correct. And simply, if you look at the screen with what Broward County did you'll see that they presented both data sets there as well. So, I mean, I know we had the total population can't be above plus or minus 5%, the total population. So there's no fear of showing that other data set and having those plus or minus 5% total populations be out of whack. So there won't be a case where somebody has to redraw their district because they did not meet the initial criteria of a plus or minus 5%. Simply all you'll be doing is, like the county, is showing that separate data set for the 18-year-older population as, and the field headings would be exactly the same as the data set that you have currently. It would just be for a 18-year or older population as opposed to the total population. And it's just my suggestion in agreement with Mr. Eichner that you just show that data set and it's just presented as an auxiliary piece of data to the packet. And yes, it does require work, but if that's the movement of the committee to do so, I would say that that's probably the best.
Let's continue. Anybody else on the side before I go? Ms. Vice Chair?
You can't be serious about any type of redistricting without using VAP. I knew without Roosevelt saying that he used VAP because when you redistrict, you use VAP. Those are, we've been a part of a lot of legal challenges, and it's always stood the test of time when it comes to VAP because of special interest groups or something who may have put in, you know, a bunch of people who could not vote. And when you drill down and look at the numbers, we saw that they reached those populations with people who were uneligible to vote. It may have been a jail, a prison, that sort of thing. So if you're really talking about being serious about redistricting, you have to use VAP. And if you're going to go to, this committee is going to go to the school board, wherever we're going to present this and say, we did this, we got the numbers right, but VAP was not a consideration. I don't think anybody would take us serious, and I certainly wouldn't want to be a part of that. That's crazy to do that. That is the essence of what we're talking about here. When you're talking about, you know, time and all that, I get that. But I don't think that we're serious about redistricting when everything, the county, I know for a fact those guys looked at VAP. I'm not talking about what I think. That was all the discussion and the different juggling and the maps and the organizations, the group that was here last time. That's what we're talking about, the end-all, be-all. If somebody presented one, believe me, nobody's done a map who has some experience in this and who is trying to make sure that things were done according to whatever they believe to be correct without using the VAP. It is absolutely critical that how we get there. Maybe if you looked at it and you saw that it created a different look than what you wanted it to be, that the map drawer did, you know, they would have to have an opportunity to see that. But just say as an auxiliary, I would think it would be the other way around. The VAP would be the top, and then whatever else would be the just general population might be the auxiliary. But you got everything in my mind has to be based on VAP, everything that we know about about redistricting.
Letha?
I agree with Mr. Eichner. I think opening it up is going to be crazy. But I do have a question, not having gone through the process of doing this. Some of the criteria that we were very interested in preserving was innovation zones, the number of schools, all of that. So, if, you know, if we present it as a separate data thing, that's fine. But in redrawing maps using this, would that throw that off? I mean, I, would any of that get disturbed? Would any of that be, you know, and our concern, obviously, is, you know, doing it for the school district is also the non-voting population, the students, or the demographics of the students, and, you know, and their ethnicity and their race. So would this affect that?
No, as far as how the maps lay out against the innovation zones, no. The lines are the lines. If they follow the innovation zones, they follow the innovation zones. Simply, the only thing that would be calculated would be, as I mentioned, the table that you see before you. It would be exactly the same as it, you have it, except there would be a table below it that would state voting age population, and it would break it down the exact same way. Just remember that the main one of the main criteria was to have each district within plus or minus 5% of the total population. So that total population does need to be represented. It's not plus or minus 5% of the voting age population. So we have, it would just simply be another diversity table breakdown. And as I had mentioned, it's not going to change the plus or minus 5%. It's not going to change the total population. But you will see a total population there for the 18 years or older and the diversity breakdown for the age of 18 years or older. And your percentages, you'll notice, will drop. They won't. You won't have a spike in an area because you're not adding a population to each group. You're taking away a population from each group. So essentially, your table above, which is the total population, you might have, say, 50% white in an area. It might drop to a, you know, a 49%.
Oh, Patrick, as an example, just share with us percentage-wise the comparison
of
total population and voting age.
For the total population for, say, this district ID for the county population or the county commission district 1, in total population, you have a percentage black population of 23%. When you look at the voting age population, it just simply drops to a 22%. You go from a Hispanic percent of 28% to a 27%, and then so on and so forth. So that's how that breaks down by that.
Mr. Folks?
Yes, Mr. Chair, three things. One, I agree with Mr. Eichner and Vice Chair Ellison and others about the need for this voting age population data. I believe that, secondly, that the more information we have as a committee, the better decisions we can make about the recommendations regarding the maps that we will be making to the school board. And lastly, once you've completed the input from the rest of the members, I'd like to make a motion. And that motion simply states that the staff provide a voting age population data presentation for each of the 12 maps presented.
Let's hold off on the motion because Mr. Folks may want to amend it if there's any additional input. So we're going to get stuck in a motion because I did want to acknowledge everybody else first. Mr. Walters, do you have anything more?
No.
Mr. Buten?
No.
Mr. Busey?
I concur with the idea of rerunning the maps and on voting age population. And just to correct a couple other things that were said, don't worry about eligible voters, I mean, or citizens and non-citizens, because the census doesn't collect that data, and it's not going to be available.
Right.
I will, when the time comes, amend the motion to include race as an all-inclusive category, irrespective of Latino or not Latino, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Mr. Arnson.
Yes, I agree with our colleagues over there. But one of the things I was talking to staff about today is, since we've had 11 maps that's been presented,
12,
and there was 10, 11 suggestions from the public, and with the expertise we have on staff, I'd like to make a motion at some time that they take all the data, including this data that we're talking about, and let staff take all maps that have been done, put their ideas together. They have the expertise doing it. I mean, they're certified map people, whatever, whatever, and let them put together a couple of choices for us to go over and tweak.
Okay. We will come back to your motion after everybody else has finished speaking. Ms. Hurtick.
Yes, I'm glad that Mr. Folks made a motion because that's what I was getting ready to do. And it just, you know, I think the comment was made that it's just another data point. However, it's an extremely critical one. So I have a couple concerns. One is that we're finding out at this juncture that this is something that could affect whether the maps are acceptable or not. And I think that we need to go back and revisit the criteria that was given to us by our attorneys in the beginning, or another way of doing that is to take the 12 maps we have and make sure that somebody looks at them and says, we're not going to continue forward with something that's not viable in the end. I would not even want to tonight. I know further down the agenda you're discussing the maps. I don't see any point in further discussing maps until we...
No, that's realistic. It wasn't the intent to actually go into the evaluation of those tonight.
So I was going to say, I really think we need to end the conversation until we make sure that this information is included, as well as anything else that they might have forgotten, and maybe you want to refer them to the Orange County site before we have further conversations. Thank you.
Mr. DiGruccio.
I just want to reiterate that I can't wait to vote on this motion by Mr. Folks and others in a second, but also as an Hispanic, I vote as an Hispanic. I am also Native American. I do not ever will, nor consider, I do consider myself multiracial, but I will never put on there that I am Hispanic, Native American when I vote. I am Hispanic. That's what I go for. This constant talk, I understand, is something, but you also have to understand the demographics of Hispanics between from island Hispanics, Central American. I am South American, and et cetera, and also Hispanics that come from Spain. I mean, it just the overall, I mean, you're never going to make that one demographic. That's why we fight over ourselves. Are we Hispanic or are we Latinos? And so forth. So, I mean, to continually to go into that is something that, I mean, when we have so many things other, and I think that the VAP is extremely important, that's where I would like to keep my focus on. And now I go over to our chair.
Okay. I want to thank everybody for your patience and this dialogue. And I know that this has been, it's kind of like just something thrown out there. But I just want to stress, I want to make sure that our recommendations to the board, you know, are something seriously considered. And I think, I don't see her tonight, but Ms. Rose Waters even stressed that she wanted to make sure that the board was going to take whatever we send to them seriously. And I think the only way to do that is to ensure that if we need to stop for a second to reevaluate something, that we do that. You know, but I also want to make sure that we have given the best advice and input to the board so that whatever it is will possibly, you know, withstand any challenge, so that we really have done our due diligence. So with that, recognize Mr. Folks for the first motion. And do you have it written down?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, if after you wrote it down, if you could give it to Patrick to make sure it's okay. Taken.
Simply that staff provide a voting age population /VAP data presentation for each of the 12 maps presented.
Sorry. Okay, the motion's been moved and properly seconded. We're now in discussion.
Mr. Chair, could I attempt to amend this motion at this time, which would be to include an all-inclusive racial category that would include both Hispanic and non-Hispanics. And my explanation why that's important is I collected the census in 2010, and we specifically instructed respondents in their homes that race, that Latino or Hispanic was not a race. And so if they had known that by answering, yes, I'm Hispanic, that would have wiped out any report of their race, they should have been so advised, but they weren't.
Okay, before we go to that, I'm actually going to first turn to the parliamentarian for some guidance, so that we're all clear on how we will address amendments to motions, so that we all understand, you know, what?
be a friendly amendment or a formal amendment?
Right, but I just want to clear so we have an understanding as we proceed forward, because we're going to be having a lot of these going from this point forward. You know, we've done listening. So now it gets into the stuff where I'm going to be holding Ms. McDougal very close to me. So, Ms. McDougal?
Yes?
Address me. If you could please advise the committee as to when a friendly amendment is being proposed to a motion.
Well, friendly amendments really should be ignored. Once a motion is stated by the chair, which in this case it has been, then you have to formally vote on the amendment by the committee.
Absolutely. She's absolutely right.
That's correct. And I just want to have, so we're all clear on how to proceed on this. So how would Mr. Busey then proceed with proposing his?
He should move to amend the motion made by Mr. Folks by adding the words or adding that the categories include whatever you said.
That race be inclusive of Hispanics.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So Mike, real quick. My suggestion is from staff is to possibly make that a separate amendment, just for the sole fact that I can't stand here and confirm that that data is even available by the voter tabulated districts to even include in that, and therefore we would be failing.
Okay. Are you fine, Mr. Busey, being a separate amendment?
We would be failing at providing Mr. Folks
a separate motion.
We would be failing at providing Mr. Folks's data and the VAP data. Should that data not exist by a separate racial breakdown, I would rather go through and actually research it and know that that data is available for the data that we are using rather than to blindly accept a motion that asks for that data when I don't even know if it is indeed available for what we're using.
I'd like to just restate it that race be inclusive of Hispanics if it's technically feasible to do so.
As part of the motion?
As an
amendment to the motion?
Yes, please.
Okay. Is there a second to Mr. Busey's motion?
Amendment.
Amendment. Again, is there? Okay, it's been moved. It's been seconded. We're in discussion on the amendment to the motion.
I would question or challenge that the amendment is germane to the main motion.
Chair can rule on that. And I think it is.
That's what I'm, yeah. I find it germane.
There are also two separate.
The way I'm seeing it is Mr. Folks is making a request for additional data and presentation to be considered, and Mr. Busey is asking it just to be other categories to be added and inclusive of that request.
If it's available.
So with that, you know, there is that stipulation as part of the motion, so what's not available wouldn't be provided. And to me, it does seem to be very germane.
Okay.
So a discussion on the motion, on the amendment to the motion. Ms. Furtick.
So you would be adding that. You wouldn't be deleting the information we had. You would be adding the new categories.
Well, the categories would be filled, basically. Where it says Hispanic, that won't change. Where it says non-Hispanic, that won't change. But that Hispanic be basically double counted in the race, which I don't consider double counting because it's really separate cross-tab. So,
any other discussion on the amendment to the motion? Okay, we're going to take a vote. All in, Mr. Eichner?
I'm trying to make sure if the motion
to the microphone.
If technically available, I think was the language that was brought forward. Technically feasible. Okay, I just want to make sure that we all recognize that, and I have no lack of confidence in what Patrick does because I can't do what he does, but we're leaving it to him or staff to decide whether it's technically feasible. Now, I think it's a fairly black-white answer. There's no gray area. It's either it can be done or it can't be done, right?
Correct, Mr. Eichner. The can or cannot be done will be solely dependent upon whether or not that data is available by the U.S. Census Bureau for the voter tabulated districts as we are using.
Okay, that's so as long as you're white, comfortable
it's
with that.
White or black.
I didn't want to put you in an awkward situation of
no, whether
you know,
or not,
a judgment call.
No, whether, no it, whether or not it requires work is not a question of whether or not it's technically feasible.
Okay.
Yes, it's feasible. Yes, it may take time, but it's going to be a yes or no answer.
Okay.
It's either there or it's not there.
I just want to make sure because I don't want to put you in an awkward situation.
Okay. Barbara?
Excuse me. When would that be provided if it's feasible, if it's available for the next meeting? Or
yeah, it would be on the August 30th
meeting. The August 30th meeting? If you
if it's available. I'm just asking.
We got to get moving. We're behind on our timeline right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you want it by the 30th, I will look at it and work to make it happen.
Any other comments to the amendment on this side? Okay, Mr. Fokes.
Mr. Chair, I just have a question, point of information. With the county's data, and I can't see that but the county's information regarding the voting age population, did they include what is being offered here?
No, they strictly went by is the same exact data set that we are using, which is the summary data files by the U.S. Census Bureau as broken down per the voter tabulated districts, and how the Census Bureau spits back out their data with the Hispanic, the non-Hispanic, and then the other racial categories that make up the non-Hispanic.
And their legal team and their demographers and their planners had no problem with
this. That's how they went by it. Supervisor of Elections didn't have a problem with it. That's what they use.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on the amendment on this side of the room? Okay. We're going to call a vote on the amendment, and I'll first ask, in case there is dissension in it, is there any objection to adopting the amendment?
Yes.
Okay, then we're going to be taking a yeas and nays by hand. So all those...
I'd like to request a reading of the motion in full with the amendment.
Okay.
We're only voting on the amendment.
Yeah, but it's
I'd
in
like
context.
To hear the
it's,
whole...
Patrick, do you have that written? You've been taking the Mavis typing?
The motion was made by Mr. Folks for the recommendation that staff provide the voter age population presentation data for each of the 12 maps presented. And there is also an amendment to this motion by Mr. Phil Busey that race be included, inclusive of Hispanic, if technically feasible.
Does that reflect the amendment, Mr. Busey?
That race be inclusive of Hispanic.
If technically feasible.
Okay. All right. We're clear on the motion? Okay. So all in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. Of the amendment. Patrick or Jill, can you count? All those against, please raise your hand.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Did you have your hand up first?
No. Oh, okay. I was, like, confused. I thought I saw more hands over there. So the motion, the amendment has been adopted. Now we're back on to the original motion. As amended. Is there any other discussion on the motion as amended? Any discussion on the motion as amended? Mr. DiGriccio.
Just a quick question. Regarding if we tweak these 12 maps, then will the future maps also include the VAP information as well?
That was part of your...
Motion. 12. So if we make change number 12 and make that number 13, then that number 13 and so forth would include the VAP information, correct?
Yes, if I get the data, you'll have the data for any future tweaks that you might have.
All right, then with no other discussion being seen, many of the members will be voting on the motion. All those in favor, signify by raising your hand. Was that unanimous?
No.
No.
Because this motion includes the amendment.
14. Those against, please raise your hand. Okay. With one opposed. Okay. So, Mr. Arnson, you have the next motion?
Yeah, I think I'm going to table it until the next. Number one, I'm adding work to staff, and it looks like they're going to have a handful. And number two, let's see what the data looks like.
They had their vacations over the summer. No. I am joking. Go on.
No, and let's see if what the data looks like and tweak it from that point on.
Okay. Ms. Furtick?
Yes. I don't know that I need to make a motion, but I would certainly like to suggest that the legal department review the criteria that they have previously given us with the inclusion of what they now have given us and make sure that we have a complete picture of exactly what...
Can you speak into the microphone so that your request is captured while on record?
I don't know if I can repeat that.
I'm sorry.
I would like to ask that the legal department review the criteria they have previously given us along with the criteria that they have given us tonight and make sure that it's inclusive of all of the criteria that we are supposed to be considering when drafting these maps and making recommendations to the school board.
Second.
Okay, so it's been moved and properly seconded. Any discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? Okay. Without objection, the motion is adopted. So we're now moving on to item, I thought we were going to be out of here early tonight. 7.5, web tool to compare map alternatives. Attachment 7.5, page 37 of your packets. Patrick? And I still have not found that section in the attorney's memo, so I will read the memo while driving home. It might pop out.
Which direction are you going?
Yeah, where do you live, Mike?
Doesn't mean I'm going to end up there tonight.
To make things easier on the committee, staff, public, as well as what Ms. Rose had gone through, Rose Waters had gone through herself and provided last week with the table of comparison of census data for each district and each map. Staff has gone ahead, and I'll name drop here, Janice Wendt of our staff went ahead and created this application. And what it does is allows you to select on each of the, it's from our map alternatives page. If you go to the map alternatives link, on the mapping alternatives page on the top. It then allows you to go to this application, which will bring up each map. And what it will allow you to do...
Are you on 3G? Or AOL dial-up?
No, it... don't reload it again. No.
I'll get to the one that was on. I just wanted to show them how to get there.
You go from the map alternatives page... No, right there, where it says map alternatives.
The header.
The header says map alternatives.
Right there.
Right
here. It's like dial-up days.
What it allows you to do is it allows you to view the current... or any map comparison that you want to do between one map and another map. So you'll be able to pull up, say, the current district alternatives on one side, and you'll be able to pull map alternative 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 through 12 on the other side. What we've also added to it is in the previous meeting, it was also requested to see where the school locations were in relation to these different districts. It will also bring up that information as well. Click wait. Once it initially loads, it's fast. Okay, so for example, if Jill leaves it on current districts there and then selects, say, map alternative 1 on the next page, it will go ahead and draw map alternative 1 for you on the right-hand side. And then if you go ahead and select district 4, this map alternative 1.
Okay, there it is. Yep.
So if you go ahead and select district 4 there on that map, left mouse click on it.
Okay.
And then also go on your District 4 for the other map. It'll show you the demographic breakdown for each map for each of those particular districts. And you can go through and you can select map 1 through 12. If you go ahead and zoom in, Jill, what you'll see then show up when it redraws. Both sides will redraw at the same zoom level, so you won't have one zoomed out and one zoomed in. They both zoom in. And then what it does is it'll bring up the school's locations and the school names for you within those districts. We did this on the interactive map because, as stated, on the paper maps, it is going to be so small you'll scream your head off because you can't. There's no way you can see it, and it clutters everything else. So allowing you to interactively zoom in and zoom out, that was the best way to provide that information to you. And this is publicly available to everybody to go forward and show that data. And then what we'll do is we'll work with the new data set and also provide either in the same application or a separate application that will allow you to look at these maps in relation to the voting age population as opposed to just the total population. But this allows the best way and the quickest way for a user to compare maps and data.
Okay. Great job. Mr. Aronson?
It looks great. See, what you're saying is in the next couple of weeks, you're going to basically will be able to see the VAP.
Right. If that data is requested and that data is available, that 18-year-old or population data is available, once we get that done and updated for the actual hard copy maps that we have out online and swap out all that data and provide that information, we'll also go ahead and make that data available via this application, or since that column might be extremely long and have to have somebody scroll, it might be a separate button to where somebody selects that and they get the comparison maps for just the voter age population.
What did you mean, if it's available? I thought we
no, 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 no. What I mean is, like, you see the data right here for total population, okay?
Sure.
Once we get that data in, instead of just selecting, say, district, see how it provides that scrolling there?
Sure.
It just depends on if we feel that that's functioning well enough so that somebody would scroll through and see all of that data and then the voting age population data. It would just be a really long scrolling thing in there. What I was saying is it might be an actual separate link on the page where you click on to view this application as only the voter age population data.
You're basically doubling.
Yeah, it would either be double the application or have double the data in that box.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Any other members? Comments?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Fuchs.
I want to thank staff. The name of the person you mentioned earlier.
Janice Wendt.
I was wondering how we were going to do this, and this is a wonderful comparison.
We're the best.
And how are we going to compare all of these given the different parameters? So for me, it's fantastic, as Mr. Williams says. No, it's great. And I look forward to being able to use it to make my evaluations. And thank your staff member and her bosses for supporting her and doing this.
Definitely already thanked her on getting that and your request for that quickly and having it functioning as quick as she did. I mean, it's a lot of work in a short amount of time. But
Ms. Brown, would you like to come forward? So it's on the record, ma'am. Just in the microphone, so everything's on.
I just really appreciate your comment. Sometimes people will think that staff may not be sharing things, but as soon as we saw the struggle that some of our community members were having as they were sharing, this is not, you know, a program that's just out there. This was all programmed, you know, line by line to get this up and ready for you all. It's not something that you know, we just go around and try and hide things on people. It is something that was hand created for your work, and I just really appreciate you saying something.
Is she the secret squirrel in the department?
Okay. Squirrel.
Thank you. Any other members? Now, Patrick, did you say this includes the innovation zones or the school? I mean, the schools, which was Ms. Verdick's next request, next agenda item.
What does it include? Are the area.
That might be a harder map. Okay. Oh, wow. Can you find me the closest Popeyes?
No,
the sole purpose and function of this application was to allow members of the public to look at the data side by side per the district, not as they were per whether or not they aligned on top of the innovation zones or municipalities. We kept the application simple so that people didn't have to turn on and off layers and get confused on whether or not they were looking at some data or not looking at other data. But by adding where the school locations were, which was a request, that was the best methodology to provide that information without having to clutter up the line work on this application. So if someone needs to know on whether or not they follow the innovation zone lines and the municipality lines, those are the hard copy maps. There is no associated census data with whether or not it splits a innovation zone or a municipality, but there is census data on the actual individual districts, and that's what people wanted to compare side by side so that they knew that, say, district map 5 versus map number 7, if district 5 had a particular percentage black population, they could then look at those two maps side by side and say, okay, now I see where the districts were changed and how they were drawn, and this population is this.
So we just touched on 7.6 as well. Is there anything else in 7.6 you want to go on to, or are we good there? Okay. Any other questions on those items? All right. The new 7.7 item, we moved 9.1 up, is basically in your packets. It's the letter that's been translated in Creole, Spanish.
The packet of information that you received was in your big supersized packet was incomplete. So what we've gone ahead and provided to you were the actual letters for the public that you can provide to any of the members in your groups or neighborhoods or community gatherings. In any of the languages, you can go ahead and take and photocopy and distribute. We've also provided all of the flyers of information, which is just basically the same thing as a letter, just not as personable as a letter is. In all of the language, English, Portuguese, Spanish, Haitian, Creole, that can be disseminated amongst your groups.
And if anyone needs them, email it to them in a PDF format or something.
Right, they can be emailed to you. They're also available online, both the letter and the flyer can be downloaded. So if you know of groups that want to have it in their organization, also I'd like to let you know that all of this information was sent out to all of the elected officials. It was also posted on the principal's website. It was also sent out to the advisory groups via Charles Webster and the Public Relations Department. So all of that information has been sent out to those groups. If you have not received it yet, you are receiving it. And it has gone to all of the public officials on the list, not just a particular municipality. And I know that was one of the particular requests, I think, believed by Ms. Ferdig in previous meetings, that it be sent to the principals involved. Well, we sent it out to every principal. So everybody's got it.
Last night, I can't believe they had a meeting, but Wilton Manor City Commission had a city commission meeting on an election night. Didn't make sense. But so I did speak during public comment and make sure the city knew that this process is going on. It's a city that is where I live now, and they have not weighed in on this. I've brought it to their attention, especially considering they are a small city. They have District 3 and District 5 that run through it. And from a lot of the input, I did stress to them that we've seemed to be, this consensus we're hearing is that small cities should be within one single school board member's district. And I basically said, you really need to weigh in, you know, because I, as a resident who also happens to sit and chair the committee, you know, haven't heard from my own city as to what your opinions are. And they've been pretty much staying out of it. But I think because I brought it up here in public comment, they may. But what I would urge you all to do as members is make sure that if there's public comment opportunity at your city commission meeting over the next 2-3 weeks, to please, you know, I know some cities require you to sign up like a month or two in advance. Others, it's kind of just a open mic night for 3 minutes. So if you have that opportunity, 2 minutes, they know you're coming. I would suggest that you take that opportunity to highlight it, bring the letter and the flyers, and give it to the city manager as well. Or if you're showing up to meetings, make sure you bring some so that they really are hand-delivered and put them on notice. Nail it to the door if you have to. Yeah, no, don't do that.
Our mayor actually got her copy yesterday, so forwarded it to me and said, please keep me informed. You know, keep me posted.
Okay, just reply back to her that you'd like some input from the city. They're a big city, and they are some of the proposals.
We're not, and based on what we're seeing, what we've seen for the maps so far, our area is not going to be affected by redistricting. And I think that's one of the reasons why the residents in our area have just kind of been going, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I would.
It really does. It's not going to affect this. It's not going to affect the city of West Park. Any one of the maps that I've
seen. Oh, you're in West Park. I'm sorry. I thought you were in Hollywood.
No.
Okay. I apologize.
Thank you.
That's me. My commission's off this month.
Yeah, a lot of them are. I mean, okay. So, any other thing on the letter? Any requests anybody needs? Okay. Next agenda item. I'm flipping a little bit back and forth. New business, 8.1, committee discussion on how to evaluate map alternatives submitted by the public, which is attachment 8.1, page 38. You know, I was...
Mr. Chair.
Yes?
I would move that we table this until we get the new data that staff is putting together with the motion that was made.
Let me just speak actually and say why this is on here. I think... you guys are jumping a little bit, and I'll take the motion, you know, but what I want to say, though, is this is only here for discussion. It's not actually to do the evaluation tonight.
I understand that, but
it's just to look
we're going to discuss it again in 2 weeks.
Well, no. Yes, we are, but it would hopefully – what I want to do is have it as a form that we've kind of come to agreement that this is how we're going to evaluate maps. And if I could just finish the genesis.
Sure, go ahead. If you
want to – table it and we can discuss it next meeting, I'm fine with that. But I just am trying to make sure we finish in a timely way and don't delay stuff if we don't have to. This, Ms. McDougal actually was on the same.
Motion on the table. Are you going to withdraw the motion or what?
First of all, the motion to table is not in order.
The parliamentarian has ruled the motion to table has not in order. She's advised is not in order. So.
Can't argue with the parliamentarian.
I won't either. So let me just finish explaining this quickly.
Sure, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The agenda item. It was listed with no explanation. But I just wanted to make sure we had a document so that map makers at least knew that they each had a fair opportunity where we evaluated and scored each other's maps. It's kind of a similar thing to how the school board in some way ranked, you know, superintendent candidates and general counsel. You know, where they just came out and we kind of map out and figure out which maps really stand out more that we really want to take from there. And the categories are all from the guiding principles. You know, staff took what our parliamentarian actually had suggested to help facilitate a meeting with a greater sense of order. And I was on the same wavelength as her, so it was interesting when I got that on a Saturday morning from her by email. And I really like the part of it because it just makes everybody walks away knowing that we looked at their map and we rated them based on objective categories rather than just being subjective and saying, well, we don't want to look at it. It also weeds it down which other ones we may want to see go forward or not. Mary?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think this is good.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair,
would
you need in order to make a motion to that the committee adopts this instrument at this point?
That's the intent of why it was on the agenda, was to first get any input of any changes that you may want on the form, and then move forward from there. But what I would ask is just in holding off on motions just for a moment. And Mr. Aronson, is there any reservation as to why you would not want to go forward with this? Is there something you think is going to jump out that needs to be considered?
On the 12 maps?
No. Yeah, on the evaluation form, on the form itself that we would be using.
I have no problem going forward and approving the form.
So,
but to implement the 12, that's why I felt we should wait and see how the...
No, we're not evaluating the maps tonight.
Okay.
No, and the agenda item was misleading, so okay. I do want to... I know that Ms. Herdick actually pointed that out, saying we're not going to do all 12 tonight, and I said no. So we will be out of here in hopefully 10 minutes. Ms. Herdick.
But I'm just wondering, this is great, I'm just wondering if we want to incorporate the information we asked for tonight as another criteria during evaluating.
This is a draft document, and any suggestions you may want to make, please
so
make.
That would be my suggestion, just to see how narrowly it complies in that category. Because you've got the district show, you've got the totals, but I think you have the totals. This is really small print. Yes, category A is districts are as nearly as practicable equal in population, so I think we might want to add the voting age population in as another category.
How would you word that? We'd be scoring them 1 to 4, from strongly unfavorable to the guiding principles to strongly favorable to the guiding principles. So how would you word the question so that we can score it? Using that same type of methodology.
District, instead of putting total population, putting voting age population in there.
Okay, so making like a new category.
A new category,
B.
Keeping all of
okay.
this and adding
okay.
a new category.
Yeah.
Okay. Column. Thank you.
But wouldn't that fall under B when we're talking about political and geographic?
No,
demographics.
It's looking at a different data set. The other is about geographical boundaries, and Ms. Reddick's asking us to also consider the voter age population, if I'm correct.
That's not what I'm asking.
Yeah. So, Mr. Eichner.
Question. I agree with what you've said. Another category I'm personally not in favor of, but having said that... there's been discussion as far as voting precincts, and that's not a category here to rate as far as whether our area, the lines are consistent with voting precincts. So I don't know if, in fairness, we want to add that in.
Well, I think we were using voting. I'll let staff answer that one.
When I took Mrs. McDougall's template, I looked at some of the words that she used, and I changed the words to align with the school board's guiding principles. So each category follows the school board's guiding principles, and there are no others inserted. So that would be my concern by inserting more categories into what's already there.
Categories use political and geographical boundaries, but I put that more in line of the North Lauderdale's and the Southwest Ranch's political issues as far as their cities being viewed as a whole, as compared to drilling down to, you know, actual voting precincts.
Oh.
With that, I'm okay.
Well, I think at this point, I haven't heard us splitting precincts, so I think...
Correct. Nobody has split a voter-tabulated district or precinct, so that
okay.
is not even a question
okay.
there.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't see that as okay. an issue. So, any other input on the form?
Mike.
So, Mr. Chark.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest that we split Category B into two categories, because a map could be compact and contiguous and not necessarily follow geographic borders. And one that follows precisely geographic borders is almost certainly not going to be compact. They all have to be contiguous. But to me, those are almost opposing concepts. You know, and if, I think that if you break it into two categories where the semicolon is, that you'd get a clearer assessment tool.
Okay. Mr. Busey?
Yeah, I think this is a working tool for each member. I'm a little bit concerned where it leads because there's a column here for total score, and some members may consider innovation zones more important than some other category or vice versa. Some might consider cities, geographic boundaries is all important. So I don't want us to, I mean, while members may add up their totals, you know, I think as a group we're going to have to review if we think one category is more important than another. So I don't want to just see this lead to an overall average that disrupts individual preferences.
I think the overall, you know, a map earning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, earning, well, now 30. A map that could potentially, actually, no, now 30, 34 potentially could be the highest score. It just helps a map stand out to say, this is a map that has some real possibilities that we want to take and either send forward or we want to take and make some modifications to it. It really helps us in a very transparent way to look at maps based on the guiding principles to say this is something that we want to see go forward. I just don't want us to do anything subjectively. I'd rather us make sure we're very objective in our evaluation process.
Well,
so it's fair.
You know, this is highly subjective. I don't know what communities of interest are. We've covered this before to the point where no one really seemed to know what it was. You look at the county redistricting, that was a frequent comment. So I don't think we can say these are entirely objective. If anything,
I think communities of interest has somewhat been defined. It could be homeowners association communities. It can be, you know, it can vary. I think it depends on which actual particular community you're looking at and what you're defining as community. Then you find out what that community has of interest in that respect. So I don't think there it has a different meaning in different areas, I would assume. Ms. Verdick, and then?
Actually, I think Mr. Walters has his hand up first.
Oh, Mr. Walters.
But I was just getting in line.
Okay, everybody's hand's gone up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As we talk about adding columns, I am catching a little bit of hell trying to read this little print now.
We'll have to.
Every time we
it'll be done on.
It's going to get smaller.
Right. No. Actually, we'll ask staff to do it on much larger paper with a font because I am very challenged in reading small documents as I get older. So it's harder to do while you're driving too.
Your age.
So. Ms. Verdick.
Yeah, I think this is a good framework for giving us some guidance and our conversations that we're going to have without being governing, and I think that's the way we need to to look at it. So how do we want to move this along? Do we want a motion? Or
let me hear the rest of the conversation. What I'd like is just to adopt it as a worksheet, really, and that's what I'm looking at, not as something as a Bible, you know, that we have to stick to. But so, Mr. Folks, did you have your hand up?
No, I'm just ready to make the
okay.
Motion.
Mr. Chard,
and I think you just clarified it because I agree with Philip that you're not suggesting that this is the end all absolute.
No, not at all.
Just to point us the right direction.
Okay. No. Fill these things out.
Anybody else last comments on this?
I have a question,
Mr. Fuchs.
In the process, so as individual members of the steering committee, we will each go through the maps on our own and fill out this.
We'll do it during the committee time.
And then we will bring, so then we will share our comments and our scores for each of the maps. And I'm thinking about how we do things in evaluating applications to the United Way, where there's on the screen, we have all of the agencies and all of the individual reviewers of the application gives our scores and explanations as to why we chose. And then we begin to look at where each agency or where each map falls in hierarchy or in priority. Is that the process we're going to be using here?
I think that we, at our next meeting, need to discuss the actual process of going forward. And that part I would be fine with having that conversation on the 30th, because we really do need to have some real ground rules on moving forward on looking at maps. But this, I think, it's a guide to help us. We have 12 submissions, and you know, I don't think we're going to be considering every one of them. I think probably, and I'm just guessing. I have no agenda here on number of maps or anything. But I'm guessing there's probably like maybe four that have been really good that we've heard from the community that they want to see move forward. And it'll help us then really pull out what those really good maps were that we sent to the board, and then we could actually support why we think they're good as well. You know, it gives us that opportunity to give an input, say, they really, we felt they really did well on these particular areas. Okay. So,
one other thing, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Rowe.
So that no one may be intimidated, is it necessary that you have the name and signature on the score sheet?
What I will do is I'll ask staff to defer to legal counsel. On voting, you would on a worksheet. I'm not sure, but I think it is. So if staff would follow up with legal counsel on whether a name has to be on it, but I think it does because these are public proceedings and, you know, public records and everything. So I think it is required. So, Mr. Chard.
Yeah, may I make another suggestion? And, you know, we all keep dumping stuff on staff, but if you want me to write comments, it might be really helpful if you actually want to read them to be able to create like a Word template that we could download or have emailed to us so that we could actually type in the comments, because I have the handwriting of a kindergartner, and I can't read it.
Kindergartner.
Sorry.
That sounds foolish. Sorry.
Long night. But if this is going to be something that's actually going to have a record made of it, you know, I think being able to type something would be a little more helpful than making you try to interpret my handwriting.
Jill's acknowledging saying that's not a hard thing to do. So.
Oh, yeah, whatever. I don't care what the program is. Just
okay. So, from what I heard, then we would add a new category after category A to reflect voter age population, and then category B to break that into two different categories, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So with those changes to the form, is there any objection to adopting it as we've amended and discussed it? Okay, hearing none, we're adopting the worksheet. All right, so flip back. That concludes new business. Is there any member of the public who wishes to speak and provide any public input? Seeing none? Okay, to help us move quickly through for our August 30th meeting, this is the last item on the agenda. I just need some input from the committee members as to what we're going to have on that agenda. So far, I have a presentation from Mr. Carland, a presentation from staff on with the voter age populations and other factors, which Mr. Busey also requested. We will go forward in evaluating the map proposals that were presented to us. And is there anything else I'm forgetting that we need to...
I think you probably should determine how many maps we are going to present to the school board. Were they going to do 3, 2, 1?
Okay. And I think that would follow logically after we do the evaluation worksheet to see how many really stand out. Ms. Furtick, you had your hands up first.
Are we bringing our worksheet... are we bringing those completed that evening? Are we submitting them by a deadline before that? I mean, that interactive map that you had was great, so I think it would be, if I were able to sit at my computer and go back and forth and look at that in regards to the map, I think it would be very helpful. So can we submit them to you before the meeting? Do we submit them at the meeting?
Just a quick something to think about. Would you do the comment sheets after you've tweaked maps and made your own maps? Because that would kind of be a one committee. If you've tweaked a map, there might be committee members that do not like that tweaked map as much as, say, a map that was submitted by a public member. Therefore, that map would also require a comment sheet to be filled out for it. You kind of it would be a two-step process as opposed to just creating tweaked maps and then doing the evaluation process on all those maps,
but I think
inclusive
right now,
of the committee maps.
Right now, we're just talking about evaluating the public the maps submitted by the public. We're not talking about maps that have been modified or tweaked. We haven't gotten to that part yet. And I think those are going to be done live, so we're going to be discussing those as a committee at that time out in the open, so I don't think that's right now relevant. Mr. Butte.
Quick question. The eventual, let's say there were three maps submitted. We don't have to have a unanimous ruling on the three maps, just majority vote, I imagine.
Simple majority.
Okay. The other way we'd be here until next
No, it's not. We are not a jury.
Okay.
So, no, there's okay. There will be no hung juries in this case.
Okay, good.
Patrick.
The microphone. Just so that I'm clear of this with staff, is that in evaluating those maps, and say you do decide to only move four ahead, four to provide to the school board as your recommendations, would those be inclusive or not inclusive of any tweaked maps? And I say that because you might come up with a top four of the community that you like and then tweak, say, two more maps, which then will bump out two of the community maps that you've already evaluated. That's why I'm kind of asking the question about the evaluation.
We're going to figure that out next meeting. At this point, we have not had that, so I can't answer that. But whether we decide to forward on four of the public's maps, and I'm just making numbers up, and then we decide to modify X number, that's something we decide on on the August 30th meeting, I think is part of that discussion of the process moving forward. But what I do need to know from you is how quickly can you have... See, this is my Ms. Furtick, I so would love for everybody to do the evaluation on their own time and email it, and so staff can have it all pretty for us on the 30th. But I just don't know, are you requiring the presentation on the voter age population and other factors in order to properly evaluate the map? And, I don't know if Patrick's going to have that information to you on time. So that's why I want to make sure we get things done and we finish in a timely manner.
I just want a clear definition of the process tonight. I don't think that it's worth another meeting to sit here and discuss everything and then come back and discuss something else. If we're not going to be ready with all of the information by the 30th, then we shouldn't even be considering these. Until we have all of the information, I don't know how we rank them. So if we don't have all of the information in time to rank them for the 30th, we obviously roll that to the next meeting. And this is in my mind.
Would you be comfortable if the agenda had enough time? And we stayed within a two-hour time frame. We aim for a two-hour time frame. Would you be comfortable evaluating the maps at the next meeting so that we are staying on track?
I personally would not. I would like to use the tools they've provided us because now that they've created this opportunity for us to compare maps on the computer, to look at where schools are located, look at where innovation zones are located, I think that will make it a lot easier. And I'm afraid we could be here for 24 hours consecutively if we're all doing that right here. So I personally would like us to get all of the information and then set a deadline for us to have our... And so some of us aren't having to do it in a car, so on our way here. I too am an in-the-car person, so.
iPad makes it really easy now.
So, but only at stoplights roll.
Yeah, trucks on their sides becoming unsafe.
When you're at a stoplight, you might read. But what I'm saying is I do think if we could clearly define the process, it would, at this point, this worksheet's a great beginning. Now, if we know exactly when we're going to have all the information and what our deadline is, I think that from this point on, we could move pretty quickly.
Okay. So we will the evaluations will happen on your own time and provide it, and we will continue the rest on the 30th, the discussion going forward from there. Mr. Busey.
I'd like to go back to minority language groups, which is part of the Voting Rights Act as amended. And that's something I want to ask the attorney on the 30th, or if you want to ask him ahead of time. I'd like to know what our responsibilities are for the Voting Rights Act, minority language.
Okay, staff, Patrick is writing down. So if you would give him your exact question.
It's to ask the attorney what our responsibilities are under the Voting Rights Act as to minority language groups.
Okay. Anything else, members? Mr. Fuchs.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I just want to commend the steering committee, commend the staff, commend the community, because just a few months ago we were sitting around these tables wondering when we were going to get our first map. And it seems like there's been an explosion in the last few months. We have 12. And that's even more than I imagined. I had in my mind maybe we'll get 5 or 6. So, and I know this man here has done 3 or 4 of them himself, but that's okay. That's why we're here, to bring ideas. So I just want to commend everyone involved in the process, because I'm happy with this. Now, if we had 24, I'd be concerned, because I don't plan to be here beyond a certain time frame. But this we can deal with, and we can manage, and we can make informed decisions and informed recommendations to the school board. So mine is just mazel tov.
Congratulations.
Anybody else?
The table for anybody.
Yeah, I'm Jewish also.
Are you? I just
another category.
Well, Catholics are Christianized Jews. So, you know, I actually just want to thank the committee. I know that I'll tell you, for me, I had no plans ever to chair this thing from the get go. I didn't even have plans to serve on it in the beginning, unless I was asked. And it's been an interesting experience. And I know that we're, you know, the next several meetings are going to be quite intense as we go forward. And I want to echo a lot of what Mr. Fuchs just said. And I just want to thank you for the respect you've given me as your chair, the patience. I know that these meetings have not always ended at 2 hours, but we've had some that have ended earlier than 2 hours. So I want I want time credit on those. Still way all over, but you know, I really want to make sure that, you know, everyone is heard in this process, including committee members, so that we all walk away, you know, making sure that everybody's had an opportunity to voice their concern, and we've had an opportunity to integrate that into our evaluations and consideration. So I just want to thank you for that, and be patient with me on some of these when we start to amend motions. I'm going to be turning to Ms. McDougall and relying on her a lot for some of the parliamentarian procedures, so I just ask you to be patient with those. And I think it's, you know, I've told the board that I'm very proud of all of you. It's been a very wonderful and collegial experience, and this could have been a very awful experience for us, for staff, and for the public. And I think that, you know, we've really modeled in some way of, you know, an advisory committee and public participation and working with staff. And I just want to thank you all. So our future meetings are all at the school board building at KCW Administration Building. The next meeting is Thursday, August 30th at 6 p.m. So with no other further business, is there any other further business?
Where can we park there?
Right outside. The gate's up at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
So with no further business, the meeting is now adjourned. It's now 8:17.
Mr. Chair? And
if
you
have any
people
asking for
what's going on, it would get me in the heat of the moment.
That's okay. There'll be vodka in this run now.
Go share.
Kate, can you set up Mr. Eichner on your Skype account?
People were ecstatic.
Like the time for 30 years, 25 years.
get reelected or whatever in opposition. And the only reason she did that is to increase her pension, so she had ulterior motives. So it was a financial decision.
Well, that's how in the court of
everything. Well,
another
question
is asking people.
Yeah, if county issued your own warrant, then they were at the office. You'd have to retire when you're 70. Like I said, if you have more than 3 years, if you start like when you're 60.
She's got 90,000 from the county.
And plus, in fact, she got immunity in testifying as Beth. So everybody hates her downtown because of that.
Well,
said, why didn't she get prosecuted? And then Beth was, her case was thrown out.
Yeah.
She's like dismissed. Michael, I'm so sorry you didn't get
I heard that.
You heard what I said.
Not next season.
Yeah, everybody's targeted.
I'm sorry. I've actually been Caesar's friend, so we're actually going back that far. You have been Caesar's friend. What's this person's name? James.
Were you at the last DEC meeting?
Sorry.
Did you hear what I said at the end of the meeting? Did you hear what I said to Mitch at the end of the meeting? Did you leave before the end of the meeting?
I was consumed with that.
Well, Mitch has my good and welfare. I said at the very end, as I mentioned, I don't want you running somebody against me or putting somebody against me in democracy. If I don't get voted out, I've been a Democrat since 1968. I'm 66. I worked for Bobby Kennedy when I was 7 years old. But you're putting in people that are they're there just to vote for you, to vote for the president's chairmanship, and then they'll never show up again. I show up at every meeting. And I got, I don't know if you are looking forward to me, but I blast them. I'm not afraid of
it.
Just one of the mics, and you're doing.
text a chick, you know, because I know that it could change, but, you know, it is what it is, but it just left me with the disgust and the light. I never got cozy with Barbie, you know, because now I got confirmation tonight that it was my scar that you put out. She did something, whether it was an actual mailer, it's really sad, because it's, I was looking for you. No, you know what? I wiped my hands and my chukas of it. So I'll be right there.
Thanks.
It is what it is. It is what it is. I'm not, you know, I'm kind of over it. I got more important things.
All right.
You know, fighting the health department to get my HIV meds. Yeah. Because they terminated my access. So now we got Senator Nelson's office going in with them. And now we're like scared. Because I asked them, I'm on the state's advisory group.
Don't forget your recorder, too.
Yeah, that's only seconds.
You guys said?
Thank you.
Does that work? I mean,
yeah.
Well enough for your.
Yep.
Okay.